5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program is official. We're delighted to be with you. And I always pimp the podcast at this time. I think it's important. So if you always tune in at this hour and I tell you, hey, go check it out. Go download this. Wendy Bell Radio. Get it on your phone and take us with you. You can bop around all over the place and shuffle through all of the various shows we've done. I think it's just going to feel reasonable to you. It's going to feel rational and commonsensical, because it is. It's not complicated. So I'm glad you're here. Thank you. It really was watching Brett Kavanaugh get grilled in that Senate confirmation hearing when I began to see how cruel and ruthless and mean and gross government is. I watched Dianne Feinstein at the helm of some of those hearings, where a man who to me just seemed like a good guy, a thoughtful man who loves his wife and his daughters, who had gone out of his way to employ female clerks, not because he was some pervert, but because he might have even been ahead of his time, to see him sit on the hot seat and be called things that you don't wash away in the shower afterwards. It was very difficult. And the last thing that he said, kind of his closing arguments, trying to defend himself the way I'm watching Donald Trump defend himself against nonsense, is Brett Kavanaugh going through his diary. I never had a diary. I can't even remember what I had for breakfast, let alone go back in time, right? And he was going through it page by page. And the camera's on him and the whole world is watching. And it's this pivotal Supreme Court appointment. It's in Donald Trump's presidency. He's been handpicked. And the whole world is watching. His wife is sitting behind him. And he's crying. You know, men aren't supposed to cry. I don't know why. Because sometimes I don't think you have a choice. To know somebody, for whatever reason, created a story about you, and that it was used politically to damage Donald Trump, that you're just the collateral damage, must feel like how that Gold Star father felt at the State of the Union, knowing that his dead son was merely part of the damage of poor leadership, of corruption and suck. So when this story came out yesterday, I obviously was connected to it. And it's a Breitbart story. I want to read this to you because one of the witnesses, if you will, who Christine Blasey Ford tried desperately to corroborate, to use to corroborate her story that there was some kind of a party. And at that party, we don't know where it was. We don't know when it was. But we know what happened. And what happened was Brett Kavanaugh sexually violated Christine Blasey Ford. We were told to believe her. Believe all women. Me Too is real. How could you not? Until you saw everything around it just fall apart. There was a man named Mark Judge. He's a journalist. He's a man without his own or with his own personal foibles and demons who never wanted to be dragged into this mess. He's come out now. And he confirms my hypothesis at 30,000 feet without a connection to the Beltway, but with common sense, that it sure as hell seems to me a lot of the crap that's going on is based on blackmail and bribery. And he confirms that. Mark Judge is his name. He says, Democrats used extortion and direct threats to pressure me into destroying Brett Kavanaugh. Here's your story. Journalist Mark Judge, the high school friend of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, has publicly claimed Democrats threatened and extorted him into potentially supporting Christine Blasey Ford's allegation of sexual assault. In an explosive interview with Fox, Judge said Democrat operatives combed through his well-documented history of alcoholism, something he chronicled in the 1997 book Wasted, Tales of a Gen X Drunk, as a means to blackmail him. I want you to think just for a minute how gross that is. How gross that is to dig into somebody's Achilles heel that they have put out to the world for whatever reason, be it personally therapeutic or as a means to provide hope to other people who suffer. To go in and to try to find something, that tender soft spot that you don't reveal to anybody because it's either too painful or embarrassing or shameful, and to put it out there and to blackmail you with it. They thought, this is what Mark Judge says, they thought, okay, if we can get Mark Judge involved in this, we can sink Kavanaugh, but we have to get Mark Judge involved in this. And they thought it would be easy, he said. They thought, okay, this is an easy hit. We'll get him involved. We'll get him down there in front of the committee. He's a recovering alcoholic. He's got a past we can comb through for days, and this will completely implode Kavanaugh. Judge further alleged that operatives, I just sounded like AOC, Judge further alleged that operatives and Democrat allies pushed him to change his story and sink Brett Kavanaugh with the promise that he would be considered a hero if he confirmed Christine Blasey Ford's story. I wonder, what could that payoff have been? Maybe a best-selling book deal? Quote, several people said, yeah, you jumped on the bed and broke things up. You prevented this. You're the hero here. You say that and you're home free, Judge said. I had journalists who I had been friends with sending me emails. Do it, Mark. Do it for humanity. Lie about this for humanity. Extortion and direct threats were allegedly used to pressure him, he said. This is what he said. On September 24th, 2018, on my birthday, I got a call from a California number. They were brilliant enough to leave a message. You like effing with people, Mark. I like effing with people, too. You better change your story, he said. Mark chose not to testify at the time, believing it would have just been a circus of senators utilizing his well-documented past of alcoholism to destroy his character. They'd been researching stuff that I knew nothing about. I knew they would be bringing stuff up that I was not prepared for, but they would make into a big deal. He also feared for his own mental health and admitted to having suicidal thoughts. When you have suicidal ideation, he says, it's terrifying. I wanted to be numb and to disappear. And of course, now what have we seen? Christine Blasey Ford has some book out, One Way Back, a memoir. I mean, knowing nothing other than what we've just said to you and what we told you last week, played a little bit of Christine Blasey Ford's or talked about her trying to sell books now, trying to stay relevant, trying to keep that drumbeat going. They don't care who they destroy. They don't care whose life is left in ruins any more than they cared about on live television physically breaking a man whose only mistake was being picked by Donald Trump to serve on the high court. Those are the dirty games of the Beltway bubble. That, I believe, is why you're watching this intriguing number of Republicans retire. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this. You got to watch out for the boomerang when you throw it, right? Jon Stewart just got bonked. Bonked! And it's really fun. Don't miss this next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, I've never been a huge fan of Jon Stewart. I did like Jon Stewart when he was advocating for the firefighters and all of the people who were injured and got the cancer after being down in Manhattan at the epicenter of the towers on September 11th, 2001. And the work that he did using his celebrity status to advocate for the people who gave so much. Right? But when he wades off into this stuff, it's unfortunate and he just looks dumb. So it was a little while ago that Jon Stewart came out and he was mocking Donald Trump for this whole overvaluation, this Letitia James nonsense. Overvaluation of his property, of his brand, of his businesses, et cetera, so he could allegedly, and you know what that word means, it's not alleged, it's malleged when people know it's BS and they try to tell you it anyway, it's malleged. That he was trying to rip people off, there was some kind of a crime that was committed, and it's really just the ebb and flow of business, right? I love this headline, New York Post, watch out, John. Jon Stewart benefited by 829% overvalue of his New York City home, even as he labels Trump's civil case, quote, not victimless. That mirror has got to be really gnarly to stand in front of. It's like the Funhouse one, where you're like, and you're all monstrous and weird looking. When you look in that, and you're like, God, I mean, I thought I sucked, but I do. Ugh. Jon Stewart's looking in it right now. Here's your story. Comedian Jon Stewart ranted this week that Donald Trump's civil real estate case overvaluing his properties was not victimless. Yet when it came to his own home, Stewart benefited from a similar inflation. Aw. On Monday night, 61-year-old Stewart unpacked Trump's $454 million appeal bond, calling out experts framing the former president's New York civil case as not causing direct harm to any individual. Well, The Daily Show host rolled a clip of CNN's Laura Coates interviewing Shark Tank star Kevin O'Leary, who commented that the ruling didn't go over well with the real estate industry that was now fretting over the possibility of becoming the next target. We've read you all of these stories. Well, Coates responds to O'Leary by highlighting that Trump was found liable for falsifying business records in the second degree, issuing false financial statements, insurance fraud, and conspiracy, all due to asset inflation. Quote, everything that you just listed off is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city. This has never been prosecuted, was O'Leary's response. Stewart then said, well, how is he not this mad over about overvaluations in the real world? John Stewart said this. Because they are not victimless crimes. He said, well, that's unfortunate. Because he goes on and he talks even further about it. So let's look at this Tribeca penthouse duplex he has. Wow. Didn't take long for internet sleuths to look into Stewart's own property history. Which shows his New York City penthouse sold for 829% more than its assessed value. Records confirmed by the New York Post reveal. In 2014, Stewart sold his 6,200-square-foot Tribeca duplex to a muckety-muck for $17.5 million. The property's asking price at that time is not available in the listing records, but according to the assessor records obtained by the New York Post, the property had an estimated market value of only $1.882 million. Wow, that is just tremendous. The actual assessor valuation was even lower at $847,000. Records also show that Stewart paid significantly lower property taxes, which were calculated based on that assessor valuation price of $847,000, precisely what he called Trump out for doing in his Monday monologue. The guy who purchased Stewart's penthouse then resold the property at a nearly 26% loss at just over $13 million. Of course, John Stewart is being a hypocrite. Who's shocked by this? So did John Stewart commit fraud when he sold his penthouse for $17.5 million when New York listed its market value of $1.8 million and assessed value of around $800,000? Who did he defraud? I'm shocked, people are writing on social media. So much pearl clutching, isn't there? So many people out there, I don't think that John Stewart was available for comment, but I'm sure he's feeling it on his face as the boomerang whips around and smacks him in the beezer. Every single thing that they've tried to sick on Donald Trump has been obnoxiously weak. A lot of pants on fire, headline wrap-up smear generating bunk. And it's intended to drag him through the system, wear him down, blow through his reserves of cash, which apparently they can't do, and to embarrass you into not voting for him. Well, John Stewart, we want to thank you so very much, sir, for being a live case in point study on Hypocrisy 101. Ouch. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, will another case against Trump bite the dust? This whistleblower thing, the hush money case with Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels just kind of went, I'll tell you why next. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, there are just some dirtbags out there. When the pendulum comes fully around to the dirt bags, it really is kind of a perverse pleasure. I will give you that. I don't mean dirty. I just mean satisfying. It's very satisfying. It's like, I don't know how you guys like your apple pie. I like mine heated up a little bit with a little bit of vanilla ice cream on the side. And this is weird. You ready? A piece of sharp cheddar cheese. Yeah. That's how I feel when I see this story. I'm like, let's go, baby. Get the ice cream. Here's the headline from the Gateway Pundit. Breaking. Bum, bum, bum. Whistleblower claims Michael Avenatti reportedly revealed Michael Cohen was having an affair with Stormy Daniels since 2006, cooked up hush money scheme to extort money from Trump before the 2016 election. I'm like, what? What? This might get a little fun. Let's go. You ready? Remember, Donald Trump has been dragged through the mud because Stormy Daniels made up some concoction, some story that really probably wasn't hers. She was just another pawn. These women who are used as the playthings and the pawns of dirtbags, I just don't get it. He paid me to keep our relationship quiet. Donald Trump's like, what? Say what? Please. And apparently Michael Cohen arranged some $130,000 payment, whatever it was, and that's what this case is all about, which is so stupid. Tony Saruga is a very popular commentator on Twitter. I had never heard of him until literally yesterday. In his profile, the conservative commentator with over 77,000 followers states that he's an Intel Ops CIA NSA contractor whistleblower. Got a lot of different hats he's wearing. So we'll take this for a grain with a grain of salt. All right? We'll just walk through it and see how we feel. This afternoon, Mr. Saruga dropped a bombshell, and if it is true, it could blow up the whole Stormy Daniels affair with Trump lie that the mainstream media and Democrats have been clinging to since 2015. Now, I'm not a man, but I'm just going to go out there on a limb and say, if Melania is my wife, I'm not looking at Stormy Daniels. Right? Right? Wrong? Right? Brock? Right?
I am a man and I agree with you.
Fair enough. Saruga claims he used to share office space with the convicted felon and former attorney, Michael Avenatti, who's such a dirtbag. Who represented porn star Stormy Daniels in her case, alleging that then presidential candidate Donald J. Trump paid her hush money to keep their alleged affair out of the public. Saruga's tweet begins with this, quote, I spoke with Michael Avenatti, who at the time had an office in the same building as one of my businesses in Newport Beach, California. This was November 2018, a few days after his arrest on suspicion of domestic violence. Avenatti's law firm was evicted from those same offices in Newport Beach after skipping out like $213,000 worth of rent payments. That's sidebar. He explained how the conversation between him and the dirty lawyer, Michael Avenatti, was initiated. Quote, Avenatti was working a long con against Tully's Coffee and actor Patrick Dempsey. Avenatti Global Baristas, the parent company of the Tully's Coffee chain that was founded by Michael Avenatti, had agreed to never again use the Tully's name, but Avenatti was lying about it. He wanted to use my trademark attorney, Rod Underhill, to take control of the Tully's Coffee name and the trademarks. I learned later it was yet another attempt to extort money from Keurig Green Mountain. God, dirty is dirty. And here's where Saruga's story gets to be very interesting as it relates to Stormy Daniels and former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Quote, in any case, Avenatti shared some details of his client Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, the case and the facts that she and Michael Cohen were actually having an affair since 2006. Why not? They're having gay sex in the freaking Senate conference rooms and recording it, right? And Dick Durbin and the others are like, you know, that really should not happen. And we're like, that's all you've got? That's all you've got? Okay, I don't mean to be a prude, but what the hell is going on in this world? Then the Saruga guy drops a bombshell. Here it goes. Quote, the whole hush money scheme was cooked up by Michael Cohen to extort the Trump Organization before the 2016 election. Avenatti seemed pleased at how deviant Michael Cohen was. I hope you guys have a powerful loofah somewhere in your future. Saruga followed up his first tweet by explaining how the shady lawyer, Michael Avenatti, bragged about the scheme more than once and even bragged about it to former NBA star Dennis Rodman on the patio in Corona Del Mar, California. In addition to being one of the all-time best defensive players in the NBA, Rodman is known for his relationship with Madonna and his unusual friendship with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. So it's pretty easy to believe Rodman could be friends with the flamboyant California lawyer Michael Avenatti. Understand, this is a quote. Michael Avenatti is a serial liar, but he did speak about his client that he would later steal from, and Michael Cohen's affair touching on their scheme to bilk the Trump Organization out of money. He spoke about it on more than one occasion. He was very passionate that Trump had not signed the NDA, making it null and void. One time, in fact, he was bragging about it to Dennis Rodman on the port restaurant out on the patio in Corona Del Mar. I was only half listening as I had heard it all before, but Dennis Rodman seemed engaged in the conversation. Another popular Twitter personality from California who goes by the name SL had this to say about the Dennis Rodman and Michael Avenatti conversation that allegedly occurred at that restaurant in California. Interesting. I know Dennis Rodman visits Port Restaurant on occasion since I had a conversation with him there in 2015 and 2016. Likely to be a true story. On Monday, when asked by reporters about it, President Trump said that he would testify in the alleged hush money payment to Stormy Daniels' trial in New York City that was brought against him by the rabidly anti-Trump but soft on actual criminals DA Alvin Bragg. I would have no problem testifying, Trump said. I didn't do anything wrong. Isn't that one sentence so simple? I didn't do anything wrong. Why would I not testify? Of course. Of course I'll be there. You're dragging my name through the mud. Trump also suggested he's planning an appeal of the trial date set for April 15th, said he's unsure if there will even be a trial following his appeals. This stuff is unraveling, you guys, fast. This is just one more case in a long string of ridiculous cases without merit that are being brought against the most popular presidential candidate in America. We all know what's going on. The left has no other options but to tie him up in court and to hope to bankrupt him. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen anytime soon. Now, it's a shame that we have to go into the dark circles of scumbaggery, Michael Avenatti, Michael Cohen, but they're dropping names and people who can corroborate the stories. And this is a great signal and projection to Donald Trump's lawyers. Hey, we know that you're going to be sitting down here with Alvin Bragg. We know that you're going to be dragged through the mud here, but just know, just keep it in your back pocket, that you don't have to go it alone, perhaps. Maybe there's something there. I think repeatedly, as I consider all of the things that you and I go through on a daily basis just to tread water, just to make sure that you can pay your bills and that you can do things with your family, that you can make memories, afford a vacation, be responsible with your bills, do what you need to do. That we have a justice apparatus that is running around on all of these witch hunts, wasting time, abusing our resources, ignoring actual problems that have meaningful, tangible effects on all of us. The same way that the media will not cover secondary cancer, as we talked about in the first hour, because of the ties to big pharma. And I'm not talking about the jab. I'm merely talking about the outrageous rise in secondary cancer since 1990. You're not supposed to be talking about that any more than we're supposed to be talking about the things like immigrant crime, the number of people who've been killed, who have been raped, who have been kidnapped, who have been trafficked, who have been enslaved, who've been murdered by drugs at the hands of all of these strangers who your government is falling over to give everything free to. Everything is upside down and inside out and on purpose. And so when I see these polls and they're like, oh my goodness, Donald Trump is up by 5 nationally over Joe Biden. Are you out of your mind? I don't even think that's close. He's got to be blowing him out of the water. Common sense is way stronger than your family's predisposition to vote a certain way. And all over America, Black and Hispanic voters, young voters, female voters, out in the suburbs, they're getting punched in the face. How many times do you get punched before you step out of the line of the fist and find a different path? This is the same abuse as the January 6th Unselect Committee. All smoke and mirrors. We need to create a story. We need to sell it to you. Donald Trump doesn't have to sell it. He says, of course I would testify. I didn't do anything wrong. That's as simple as it gets when you don't live with the secrets. America sees the secrets. And when we come back, my friends, I want to talk about a little bit more about this boomerang. I have no money, no passion, no feeling for Ronna McDaniel. Like, I'm not feeling connected to her on any capacity, in any capacity. Though she has the opportunity to stick it to NBC, to me, makes me a little tingly. I admit it. And I'll tell you why coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So much for the people who swear to us that they tell us the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help them God. Oh, that's right. There is no such oath among people in the media because what they do is demonstrable. We all know it. It's unfortunate. I lament it every day, watching my former industry just... But this whole Ronna McDaniel fiasco... On the one side, you know, hats off to NBC to think that they would hire the former head of the RNC to be a part of a panel or whatever. It's not unlike Fox News choosing Donna Brazile or that Jessica woman on The Five or whatever. Everybody's got like a token person from the other party. You should at least to have, I think, reasonable conversations if we're going to get both sides of the story. But, of course, the folks, the Chuck Todds, the Mika Brzezinskis, the whatever his face is, Joe Scarboroughs of the world, Rachel Maddow's melted down. How could we possibly have her here as though she was Lord Voldemort and everybody was going to melt or something? Close your eyes. It's like the Raiders of the Lost Ark when they open it. Don't look. So stupid. So they bagged her. They bagged her in like 48 hours. Hey, welcome. Well, you know what? Don't unpack your bags just yet. I can't believe she was going to get paid $300,000 a year. 300, 2-year contract. So this boomerang's coming back fast to NBC. If you're going to try something and then you're going to capitulate to the voices of suck within your newsrooms who are like, I can't believe she's going to be working here. Oh my gosh. And then you fire her, you better wait for a lawsuit. And ding, 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 ding seems to be exactly what's going on. Ronna McDaniel considers defamation suit against far-left NBC. I love this. I love, quite frankly, anything John Nolte writes on Breitbart, but this is worthwhile. Former RNC chief Ronna McDaniel is considering a defamation suit against NBC News. Far-left Politico reports. McDaniel had signed a 2-year contract with NBC News, a left-wing propaganda outlet that spreads conspiracy theories, as a contributor to both NBC News and MSNBC. She was going to be paid $300K a year. How would you guys like that? Because you know she's not putting in an 8-hour day. She's going to put on some makeup, maybe get a few more lip injections and bop over to the green screen, and there she'll be. Well, after McDaniel's first appearance on Sunday, former Meet the Press host Chuck Todd launched a McCarthyite crusade to have McDaniel fired. His fellow fascists like Joe Scarborough and Rachel Maddow quickly joined in, and on Tuesday, McDaniel was fired. Bing, boom, bang, right? NBC News, the group chair, Cesar Conde, announcing the firing with a note to employees that included a personal apology to employees and a mention of our, quote, deep commitment to presenting our audiences with a widely diverse set of viewpoints and experiences, just not people who trigger our own staff. So preposterous. I mean, how do kids stand a chance in this world when the adults suck? Did you get the part about our deep commitment to presenting our audience with a widely diverse set of viewpoints and experiences? Apparently some pretty weak-ass trolling right there. Not a single Trump supporter at MSNBC. They hire only left-wing homophobes, left-wing election deniers, left-wing Jew haters. This is John Nolte writing this. Former Democrat campaign operatives who spent 5 years lying to America about the 2016 presidential election and continue lying even after special counsel Robert Mueller cleared Donald Trump of colluding with Russia. According to Politico, McDaniel spoke yesterday with Brian Friedman, renowned lawyer to the estranged cable news stars, to discuss legal options even beyond recouping every penny of her $600,000 contract. That'd be one hell of a payday. Appear once, get $600,000 grand, then sue the everlasting liver out of them for character defamation and assault. This is fantastic. The good stuff. This is the good stuff. This is from Politico. McDaniel, we're told, is exploring potential defamation and hostile work environment torts. After MSNBC's top talent, momentarily her colleagues took turns Monday blasting her on air. NBC declined, I should say, to comment about the $600,000 figure or her potential claims. Most of all, they're furious that the network did little to push back on a multi-day campaign against their new hire. On their airwaves, host after host cast McDaniel as an enemy of democracy for, among other things, participating in a November 2020 phone call when then-President Donald Trump sought to convince Michigan GOP elections officials not to certify election results. That's what Politico says happened. So, I mean, obviously, we know these people are corrupt and disgusting. This is a calculated move, I think, to send a message out there to, let's just say, Republican operatives, that if they criticize the media or they argue against a precious media narrative, they will not be employable in the sweet, sweet world of cable news contributors. In other words, Chuck Todd and the rest of the sucker, hoping the new blacklist rules will sabotage the effectiveness of Trump campaign staffers. We don't need NBC. You don't need MSNBC. You don't need CNN, The Washington Post, The New York Times. You don't need any of it. You've already aligned your news preferences with certain people. If you're here every day with me, whether it's for the full 3 hours or you go back later, you have found it. The funny part of all of this isn't just that Ron McDaniel has a really good chance of smacking these people with a multi-million dollar lawsuit. And by the way, I hope that she makes no money, but I think it would be hilarious if she did. All of this exposes these alternate avenues, those opening windows, those detours of life that force you to take a path that you weren't expecting. And then to realize, you know what? If that hadn't happened to you, you would have no idea how much sweeter life is once you make that bend. Wow. Already hour number 3 on deck? What the heck? All right, don't go anywhere. It is really a tale of two presidents. What Joe Biden and Donald Trump are both doing in New York City today, and it couldn't be more different. I got this story next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.